Amen. Lord Jesus, we long for and desire your presence in our life, Lord. We pray that this morning that we would hear from you, that we'd feel you, and Lord, that we would honor you. And Jesus, that's what we want to be, a church that honors you. And so would you be with us this morning, and may we bring glory and honor to your name, in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I don't know if you've had experiences where you just can't sleep and you just wake up in praise in the middle of the night. And last night, I know it sounds like a weird intro here, but last night we were picking movies, and my girls saw the movie Big George Foreman, which is a boxing movie about George Foreman's life. And you wouldn't think that my girls would pick it, right? But they heard in the preview that he was a pastor. So we watched it, and we saw a story of a man who had to literally die before he had to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. And then I started thinking about all the ways that God has changed and worked in my life. And I know I don't deserve the goodness that God has given us. Amen? And yet you look, and we took time in this room just to say, God, would you help us to hear the stories and testimonies of everyone who's come before us and everyone in this room? We could do that for years, just the hearing of God's goodness in our lives. And also, I don't know about you, but for many years in my ministry, in my personal walk with Jesus, I tried to do it on my own strength and failed miserably. How many of you can relate to that? Do you know we can do church on our own strength and fail miserably? We could do good things. We could have clubs. We can have CR. We can have youth group. We can have children's ministry. We can have everything. And yet we could fail, because if the Lord isn't in the midst of it, we labor in vain. Church, I don't know about you, but I don't like doing jobs that I have to redo, right? And call me lazy or whatever, but I like making sure that it has purpose. I want our church to have purpose. I want my life to have purpose. And as I was going for ordination a few years ago, one of the things that stuck out to me is Galatians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." A lot of times we try to overcome sins, or we try to overcome habits, or we try to overcome addictions on our own strength, but we miss one key ingredient. The Lord has sent us his Spirit. How many of you have people in this room that you can't love on your own strength? Okay? And you say, oh, the Holy Spirit. You're hugging your husband and patting on his shoulder. I don't know if we need to maybe our worship leader needs to have a talk with you. But anyways, but yet the Lord works in through us. In church, this morning I want us to look at, what does it look to be a church on mission? You know, my own personal life, there was things I had tried to get over and forgiving people. And actually, one of my best friends in the room here, that she used to call it stinking thinking, that we get these thoughts and they're negative, and I start, you know, anger towards people who have wronged me and all these things. And then I say, Lord Jesus, I can't on my own strength do this. I want you to work. How cool would it be if New Baltimore Community Church was known as a church where Jesus worked? And so this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, we could turn there. But if you have your Bible, let's stand up one more time. We're getting our workout in this morning. All right, and we're going to hold our Bible. We believe this is God's word. Amen. And so let's declare this together. This is God's word. It is God's authority over me. It is God telling me who I am and what I am to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and bring others to Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, I pray that the words that are said today would not be mine, but would they be yours, King Jesus? And Lord, we worship you and honor you. In your precious name, amen. This morning, I mentioned we're going to be in Acts, but I want to start off here with what is the mission of the church? What do we do? Why do we exist? What is our purpose here? And I think we'd have varying different opinions. Some people say, well, it's to worship and glorify Jesus. Amen, it is. Others would say, well, it's only to reach the lost, which we are called to reach the lost. But what does Jesus command us to do? The mission of the church has actually never stopped and won't stop. In fact, Jesus said, Peter, you are a rock, and on this foundation I'll build my church. Not even the gates of hell will stand against it. How many of you watch the news think, oh, the church is falling apart? Yeah, there's sinful, broken people in it. But Jesus is king of it. And I love this. Matthew 28:19-20. This is going to be our key formation as we go forward. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What does he tell us to do? Make disciples. He doesn't tell us to go and to have the biggest productions or to reach the most amount of people. Yes, that's part of it. We want to share the gospel with others. But it says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, these are Jesus' final words. And you could also read them in Acts chapter 1, 2, right? And these are Jesus' final words before he descends to sit at the right hand of the Father. I don't know about you, but when I talk to someone and they're telling me their final words, it's important. No one says, hey, do you remember that time I played that PlayStation game and I was really good at it? No one ever goes back to that. But what they go back to is, have I been a good and faithful servant? I love Hudson Taylor was a missionary who ended up losing his life for the sake of the gospel. And he says, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. So church, I say again, what is our mission as a church? I would argue that if we're making disciples and we're obeying everything Jesus commanded. Remember, that's the second thing. It said observe. What does that mean to observe? It means it's part of our life. It's who we are. It sinks into our core fabric. So when Jesus says, forgive those who have wronged you 7 times 70, you go, oh, I really hate this person. Well, it's a command. The Lord, even this morning, had me pray for someone that I'm like, oh, God, I'll pray for anyone else to show me. Yeah, right? How many of us have been there? And when he says that we're to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, guess what that means? When we're tempted to say a careless word to someone who is made in his image, we stop and we think about it. Or when he tells us to go out and make disciples, we do it because Jesus cares for the lost, which we are all part of that, that Jesus has cared for. So mission in church has not stopped. There's 3 points with this first verse. Is Jesus' missions for the church was to make disciples. I don't know if you ever started a job before where they just threw you in the job and didn't give you training, right? I remember I went from selling grand pianos at Lentine's, and it was cool. You know, I'm selling these $80,000 Petros pianos, and my boss came to me and said, you've got to choose between church and work. And I said, thank you for letting me work here. I appreciate it. And that was my last day. Then I went to work at Swenson's making milkshakes. Now, you want to talk about humbling, and they said, go make the shakes. I had no clue what I'm doing. And this 15-year-old girl came up to me, and she's like, so are you doing this for, like, shopping money? I'm like, no. All right? And yet, oftentimes we have people pray a prayer with us and we leave it at that. We don't instruct them. Here's how you live your life. Here's how you love God. Here's how you spend time in his word. When Jesus gives us a command, even if it's difficult, it's not optional. It's instructional because he loves us. The second thing, they were instructed to teach everything Jesus had commanded them. Everything means everything, right? The whole counsel of God. We live in a world that doesn't want to hear that today. But if we're truly making disciples, we don't get to pick and choose what part of God's word we keep. Amen? And thirdly, he says he would be with them to the end. How many of you think sometimes a Christian life is not easy? Life is not easy, right? When we're praying for a 17-year-old boy who has brain cancer, we don't know if it's cancer, but this brain tumor, and we go through and think, Lord, how can this be? Or when we lose our job, or we go through hardship, we think, Lord, how can this be? But guess what? We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The other thing we're going to look at is the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So let's look in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And we're going to see here with Pentecost, they're actually, the Jews were all gathered, and some scholars believe this is the time where most Jews were actually back in Israel. And there was also Galileans, and there was all these people of faith, because it was a time that they would celebrate the time that God gave the children of Israel God's law on Mount Sinai. What's interesting that's going to happen here is God's going to go further, and he's going to give them insight now and how to communicate. The Holy Spirit's going to fall down, and he's going to open their eyes. So in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5 says, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. It's pretty cool. There was a breakfast I was at with pastors about 3 years ago, and one of the guys who I was with does missions work overseas, and his interpreter, he was speaking at a big conference, and his interpreter got sick and wasn't there, so he said, okay, well, I only know English, so I'm going to give the message, and we're just going to see what happens. And he said afterwards, people were coming up, and they were crying, saying, man, the Lord spoke to me so much today. Through one of the other pastors, he goes, what do you mean? He goes, man, I did not know you spoke Peruvian that well. I mean, that was just awesome. And here the Lord used him to speak into other people's lives. God's Spirit is still working today. It says, and then they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in their own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of the Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues. What do they hear? The mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said they were filled with new wine. There's a few things here, church, that we see. The Holy Spirit was impressing on them, and believers couldn't help but tell what God had done. Amen. If we want to see God work in our community, in New Baltimore Community Church, we need to be people of joy who worship and say, God, because of grace you have shown me, I can't help but tell other people about you. Why am I so excited about Celebrate Recovery starting here? It's because when people get radically saved and Jesus saves them from addictions, they want to tell everyone about it. Amen. A lot of times we get in our corners, we think we got to try to act like we're perfect or we have it all together. There isn't a single person in this room or in the world that has it together. But Jesus works in us. You see, the difference here this first day is the church was set on fire by the Holy Spirit. It burned and consumed everything. That it was their core principle and value is the Holy Spirit working in them. You know, he gives us the ability to speak. Jesus says, when you're arrested and people say all kinds of things about you, do not worry about what to say, for I will give you the words to say. Let me ask you, does Jesus lie? How many of us are terrified to share with people sometimes, right? Okay, good. Only two, so the rest of us, we should triple by next week, right? We're afraid of, man, what if I mess it up? What if I say the wrong things? What if I don't know all the answers? Guess what? You will never know everything until you're standing in the presence of God in the last day. But A.W. Tozer says this. He says, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from church today, 95% of what we would do would go on, and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everyone would notice the difference. Why? Because they didn't just sit and say, I can't offend you with the gospel. They said, this is so important that if you died today, you'd spend all eternity in hell separated from a loving God who cares for you, who laid his life down. spoke out of personal experience. Your greatest hardships that you've went through your life, maybe it's going for a divorce, maybe it's being a situation that is unhealthy, maybe it's losing your job, whatever, losing a child, whatever it is, maybe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to use in your life to share the gospel. The other thing that they couldn't help but testify of the mighty works of God. Amen. What do you know that church is meant to be, when we come together, church? It's to be a celebration of what the Lord has done in our lives through the week. And lastly, Peter would go on in the next section to boldly proclaim the gospel. And guess what happens? 3,000 were saved that day. Do you know that the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is the same Holy Spirit that was around 2,000 years ago? Do you know God's word said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. Do you know there's still people who are searching for answers and they're saying, listen, I'm struggling with this drug addiction. I'm struggling with this alcohol addiction. I'm struggling with this pornography addiction, whatever it is. And I just want freedom. And you and I have the cure. And it's not by trying to be more holy. It's by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. And so Peter goes on and he gives this sermon in verses 14 through 41. And in there he goes for the history of what God has done and the fact that the early church and that those Gentiles and the Romans had persecuted and killed the Lord Jesus. And it said he spoke boldly. And what happens here is amazing. On this first day, 3,000 people give their heart to the Lord. Do you think God knows timing too? This is the time when the most people are there in Jerusalem. And he says, this is when I'm going to descend my spirit on my people. Think about this too. The early church, I don't think they were really surprised that this happened. I mean, yes, it's surprising, but Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit is coming. But you walk around with Jesus and you see all these miracles, everything he does, he brings the dead to life. And you're like, oh, this is just another Jesus moment. How many of us have experienced a Jesus moment? I know that many of you guys know this, but we've been praying for our baby girl for 2.5 years, dealing with throwing up. I mean, she threw up 17 straight days. And the doctor said, hey, she's always going to deal with this EOE and this condition. I mean, she might grow out of it some, but has to have endoscopies every 6 months, or 6 weeks rather. And God brought us to a treatment that was able to completely cure her and heal her. The Ellie can eat anything. We went out. That's awesome. We went on vacation. She's eating pizza. She's eating donuts. She's eating ice cream, everything. And I think, you know what? Sometimes there's things that I think can never change, but the Lord is powerful and he's mighty. In this last section, we're going to focus on verses 42 through 47. So if you have in your Bibles, turn there in Acts chapter 2. We're going to see some things of a church that is devoted to the mission of Christ, which is what? What is Christ's mission for us? To make disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm also grateful that I've had godly people in my life who have really poured into me and cared for me over the years. And guess what? Sometimes I was a punk when I was a teenager. I like, right? How many of you are parents and you're like, oh, yeah, teenager, right? When I was a younger kid, I was so bad that we went on a trip with the church choir, and my mom didn't believe in discipline at the time. She was in Lilachi League, and everyone has different views, okay? But she said, I was going as kicking the older people on the bus, okay? I was about, I know it's terrible, all right? I was about 6 or 7, and I'm going around, I'm kicking them, and my mom goes, Danny, mommy doesn't want to have to put you in timeout. And this older lady stood up and said, spank them now for all we care. And that's when that started. All right. But, or at least that's what I told my therapist. But anyways, so as you go through it, though, I had Sunday school teachers and people who cared enough about me to spend time in kids' ministry because they knew that there's people that needed to know the gospel as a young age. And so I gave my life to Christ at 6 or 7. And then I had Pastor Mark Stradiot, who used to do kids worship, and he taught me a love for worshiping the Lord. My parents would sing worship songs around our bed when we were going to sleep, and they would teach me, instruct me. And then I got to, I know it's hard to believe, but I was an awkward teenager, okay? And so I get to youth group, and there's a youth pastor who cares enough about me to pour into me and share God's truth with me and say, Dan, I believe God has a calling on your life. We need more people in our church body that would say, I'm going to pour and invest in someone else. If you're serving in the church, I hope you have someone serving right aside of you. And so let's look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. It says, here's what the believers did. And they devoted themselves. There's that word devotion. To the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. This is only stuff that could happen if the Holy Spirit was working, because on our own strength, we are powerless. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice, they weren't just devoted to themselves. They were devoted to the teaching, and they were devoted to one another. Amen. And what happened? Souls were saved every day. Verse 44, it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all who had any need. There was no social services or anything like that. The church was the body of Christ. And day by day, attending the temple together, they didn't stop meeting together. They saw worshiping the Lord is important. How many of you have people in this room that they just bring joy to your heart when you see them at church? I told that to Daryl earlier today. If you don't know, I'm sorry, Daryl. That I love seeing him. And he'll call me, and he cares. I don't feel like our relationship is just a Sunday morning thing. And for so many of you guys, that is what we have become as a family. But we need to do that. And they would attend temple together and breaking bread. Do you know that when you're not here, we miss worshiping with you? That's not a dig on you, Matt, watching from home, okay? I know, not since your wife said that, all right? And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. Whoa. What would that look like if that was what God did at New Baltimore Community Church? That day by day people were coming to know Christ because we were living out our life saying, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to talk to today? Lord, what do you, maybe it's you, you're asking me to forgive someone. Maybe it's asking me, you need to share the gospel with my coworker. And Lord, they're far from you. But you know what? Who's the one that works in hearts? Jesus. I'm so glad I don't have that responsibility, right? We are called to be faithful. And if you're someone who shares the gospel, I hope that you're teaching someone else how to share the gospel. And that's convicting in my own heart. I have a son who feels called to be a pastor. And he feels called to share the gospel with people. And can I tell you, I really love sleep, okay? And as you know, at 68 degrees. But when I am sleeping, I get a knock on my door at 6 in the morning every day, say, Dad, it's time for devotions, get up. And he loves to just listen and learn and glean. If you're doing ministry, take someone along with you. And again, it says this several times, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There's some things that we see about the early church. The early church was devoted to the mission, which is what? Making disciples. And here's some of the things they were devoted to, the apostles' teaching. I hope and pray that you come in here not just saying, okay, I better get something out of this, but you say, all right, Lord, what do you want to teach me today? Lord, make it personal. How many of you have sat in a service and be like, oh, man, he really needs to hear this, right? I knew I'd get a response there, but they were devoted to fellowship. Now, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I like just to be by myself. But do you know that we were created and designed for relationship with others? If you're not having fellowship regularly with other brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to make that part of your life. To breaking a bread, I think we do pretty good at that here, okay? With eating, but this is a remembrance. What does Jesus say? He says, as often as you meet, do this in remembrance of me. You know, when we take communion, it should be a special holy time because we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of all those in the room who have given their hearts to Christ. To prayers. When I talk to believers and people in our church, the number one thing they say they struggle with is prayer. Do you know anything you start doing at first can be awkward, right? I remember when I asked out Meg on a date, I said, when you get back from spring break, can we hang out? I have a lot of fun with you. And I put my head down, all right? I was nervous. Sometimes when you're praying, it's not like it's always going to be this audible voice back to you. But it starts off saying, God, would you search my heart? Lord, thank you for what you've done. You know, we say the Lord's Prayer at the end of the service. It's in the template, an example of what we should do. Not that that's the only prayer we do. You talk to him like he's your friend, but also you honor him like he's king. The other thing is unity. Jesus' prayer in the garden, think about this. He's praying and sweat drops of blood are coming down. He says, Father, help them to be one as we are one. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything politically. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything across the border, even how the church should be run or all these things. What it means is that Jesus Christ is the focus. I can rally around that, right? It's interesting. Nehemiah's old soccer team, I could tell if they were going to lose within 5 minutes. If we're sitting on the sideline and they were attacking each other and putting each other down, I'm like, oh, they lost. They were the most talented team. But if they were encouraging one another, I was like, oh, this is going to be a good game. Church, we need to be a place that we encourage one another. I love what Steve said earlier today, is that we're a church that extends grace to one another. We're not expecting perfection, but what we're expecting is people to say, Lord Jesus, I want to serve and honor you. The other thing is they were making sacrifices and giving to those in need. They were sacrificially giving. And can I tell you that is a hard thing. Sometimes we say, oh, Lord, I don't really have this to give, but if you're calling me to do it, I'm going to do it. Now, in this passage, they were giving to the needs of those that were in need. One interesting fact, and I want to just challenge us here a little bit. Statistically, and Pastor Ken, I'm not going to pick on your age or anything, okay? But statistically, when Pastor Ken's generation passes away, the church in America is in big trouble. And it's always one of those things that you're afraid to talk about sometimes because you want people to go, oh, he just wants money. No. The Lord calls us to tithe and be faithful in our giving. If we're to be disciples of Jesus, how are we doing in that category? Listen, Jesus' church is never going to fade away. But it's never promised in America, okay? And so if we want to see God move in a powerful way, we need to give and contribute that out of the overflow of our hearts. The other thing is they enjoyed worshiping together. I love sometimes I stop singing, when I'm sitting there, and I love hearing the voices behind me and around me. Why? Because others praising God brings me joy. We're not alone. It's a sign of unity, of coming together. The fact that when we worship, we are one body and one voice. And yes, some of the voices aren't as pleasant, okay? But you're to sing with a joyful noise. And lastly, they had glad and generous hearts. You know what? I love when people come and they just want to serve joyfully. How many of you love being around joyful and glad people, right? It makes a difference. I don't think I've ever had one Sunday since I've been here that Phil's been here that he hasn't come up and given me hugs. It's an honor to serve the Lord together. Or it's something like, I love worship. It oozes out of him. When Bob's leading worship, you can see he loves the Lord. And here's the result. They found favor with everyone, and the Lord added to their number those being saved each day. You know what this is? This is marks of a discipled church. The second point in this last point here is that to the early church, their faith was a way of living. In fact, it wasn't until later in Acts that the church was actually called, that they were called Christians. It was called the Way. Why? Because it was every single part of them. They lost jobs, they lost friends, they lost families. Why? Because every decision was made on, does this bring the name of Jesus Christ honor and glory? Now, they were fallen, broken people just like you and I, right? If you read the Bible, you're like, that dude's messed up, right? Like, she's in the lineage of Jesus and she was a prostitute. Like, how does this work out? Because God redeems. But he doesn't call us to stay the same. So here's our closing questions today. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us? Are we doing 95% of the work without God? Or are we doing the 5% without God? Or are we doing 100%? And I would encourage us, if we're going to do anything, let's do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like trying to watch TV without it plugged in, right? And saying, oh, this is a good show. If the Holy Spirit is inside of us and we have that key, let's use it. Secondly, are we devoted to the things that the early church was? To fellowship, to breaking of bread, to community, to giving, to serving. And why it's so important? Because this is what Jesus commands us to do. And I know that there's some in the room that think, well, that's nice, Dan, but I just come on Sundays or I put in my tithe and that's it. You will always get what you put into something. Listen, I have a gym membership. Don't laugh, okay? Okay, I don't get my money's worth often. Some of us are living our spiritual walks with Jesus that way. And honestly, when we end our service and we say the Lord's Prayer, sometimes it could be rote or we don't really allow it to sink in. Or when we say the blessing, are we really blessing out of overflow of our heart where we say, Lord Jesus, you are King, I am not. Lord, may you use my brothers and sisters to leave this room, to go out and be a light for him. Does our devotion come from that overflow of joy and awe over what the Lord has done in our lives? I encourage you, journal, write it down. I'm not a writer. But write down what the Lord has done in your life so you don't forget. Think back on it. What could God do with a church today that is set on fire for him, each other, and the lost? What this means is we care about the things Jesus cares about, amen? So much the fact that he would die on the cross for us. We're going to share about this in the business meeting here. But when the worship team gets up, I want us to spend a few minutes in prayer. This might be awkward, but I want us to pray out loud and just ask Jesus, what do you want with our church? And we want to praise him, thank the Lord for what he's done. We're going to spend about 5 minutes doing that. But as we've been meeting as elders and praying about what is the mission of New Baltimore Community Church, what is God calling us to do? We believe God is calling us to do this. To make more and better disciples of Christ. And so going forward, church, that's our mission statement we're going with. And our vision statement is out there. That's how we carry it out. So you think of a mission statement as this is our destination, is to make more and better disciples of Christ, right? Like that's where we're going. We carry it out for our vision statement. And we're working on core tenets that this is what our church believes. This is how we go through. And it's built on Acts chapter 2, God's word. Amen. Anything we do, if it's not foundationally built on God's word and through his Holy Spirit, we are missing the mark. And so I just want to have us go for prayer and pray loudly as you can. And we're just going to take time. We're just going to say, Lord, would you use us? And maybe we could even just pray for different ways the Lord can use us. So I'll start us off and I'll end it when it's awkward. Which priority is, but we're going to go for it. Father God, I pray as the worship team comes up that, Lord, we want to be a church that's set apart for you. Father, I just don't want to come and labor in vain and do these children's ministry or these celebrate recovery and different things. Lord Jesus, would you help us to make disciples? Would you help us to be on fire for you, Lord Jesus? We thank you for how you've blessed us with the newer people in. And Lord, I pray that you continue to work in that way. And as you feel led, let's just lift up your prayer to the Lord that we would be people that would be used by him.